everybody. Now I'm going to ask you, if you've had a hard week, if you've had a week where you felt like giving up, if you've had a week where you just felt stressed and overwhelmed and irritated, I'm going to ask you to just lift that up to God. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for each and every single person, God, that's in your house today. God, for every person that's watching on Facebook Live. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, where there needs to be healing, God, I thank you that there's healing flowing through that body. God, in our emotions, God, in our spirit, soul, and body, where there needs to be a healing, God, I thank you for healing taking place right now. Father God, I ask you right now to saturate Logan County, God, with your presence. God, I ask you right now, Lord, every dope cooker, God, every dope dealer, God, every person, Lord, God, that needs saving, God, I ask that you save them. But Father God, I ask that you would expose, God, that, and I ask that you would shut them down. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for breakthrough, God, in this city, God, in our families. I plead the blood of Jesus over every marriage, God, that's struggling. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for making a way where there hasn't been a way so far. God, I thank you for your presence, God, your favor, and God, your provision. Holy Spirit, there's nobody like you. Daddy God, we love you so much, and God, we've come here to praise you. God, we've come to lift you high. God, you are bigger than any problem. God, in Jesus' name, you are bigger than any obstacle we face. Lord God, you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. God, you're the beginning, you're the end. God, you're the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Daddy God, I tell you to have your way in this service. And God, I thank you right now for moving in a mighty, mighty way, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to Paris Christian Center. For those of you that may not know me, I'm Pastor Kelly Kitson. My husband, Pastor Jeremy Kitson, we co-pastor together. And I want to tell you, if you don't hear another word that I say from this pulpit, I want to tell you that God loves you so much. I want to tell you that you matter. I'm going to say it again. I want to tell you that you matter. And I want to tell you that you're enough. You're enough. There's so many things that try to pull at you every which way and make you feel so inadequate, make you feel like you're not doing enough, make you feel like you're not enough. And I want to bind that right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every person. And Lord, I right now, God, in your word, you said you needed a binder. Holy Spirit, you said you needed a looser. So God, right now, I bind up depression in this place. God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up stress and fear and worry and anxiety, God, and I bind it up right now, and I loose, God, the presence, God, of who you are. Lord, I ask that you would search, God, every aisle. Lord, Daddy, God, I ask you to walk up and down each aisle. God, walk up and down each heart. God, and I loose right now peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, folks, I want to tell you there's things that you're going on in your life. You don't understand them. And I want to tell you that there's a peace of God that's going to pass over that stuff that you don't understand. So I'm happy to be here this morning. If you have not heard me preach, I want to tell you that I'm a loud person. I really don't even need a microphone, but for my husband's sake, I entertain that and I put one on every Sunday. I'm not going to sugarcoat the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't need to be sugarcoated. The Word of God needs to be out there to break through. The Word says, now, the Word is living and it's active. That's why I tell you to get into the Word of God, because if you'll get into the Word of God, it's living. It's going to breathe life into every problem that you face. It's going to breathe life into every issue that wants to present itself. Now, that's just all extra. That has nothing to do with the sermon today. I'm going to also tell you, if you've never heard me, I'm not politically correct. It is what it is. I'm going to also tell you, you're going to know whether you like this church in about 30 seconds after I get done preaching, because it is what it is. And I've learned that the world right now, what the world does not need is one more watered-down pastor. They need somebody that can look you in the face and say, look here, it's going to get better. You need somebody that can look you in the face and say, hey, now hold on, that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. Now look here, That's exactly what you got here. That's exactly what you got, and I want to welcome you. If you're watching me Facebook Live, I want to welcome you into Paris Christian Center Church. We are so glad that you're here with us this morning. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to preach on something that's very close to me. We're going to be talking about Elijah this morning. I'm going to give you a moment to turn there. I'm going to encourage you when you come into the house of God to bring the Word of God with you. It's not enough. Hello, Miss Barbara. I'm so glad you're here. Barbara's one of my favorites. I love her. And it's not enough for a pastor to just read to you the Word of God. Because look here, I could be up here, and brother, I could be reading, and if you ain't reading along, I could be reading you just any old thing. You wouldn't know the difference. See, you got to get into the Word for yourself, for yourself. Look here, I have a very dear friend of mine, and she really holds me in very high regard, and I love her dearly, but she says, when I get in the car with Pastor Kelly, I don't even have to worry about getting in an accident or anything bad happening to me when I get in this car. Now, look, she's giving me too much credit because she stepped out of my car one day, and it was snowing, and we were delivering meals to our senior citizens in Logan County, and it's the moment she got out, bam, she hit the ground. That ain't even the funniest part of the story. The funniest part is I love that gal, and she loves me, and I call her Sister Blabbermouth because I can't say her name. Well, Sister Blabbermouth, let me tell you, Frog, here's what she... Y'all welcome Frog into the service this morning. She never skipped a beat. Arkansas ain't had snow like that in years. And they said, Pastor Kelly, how dedicated are you to this food ministry? I am very dedicated, and I am very passionate. We are going to have that food, rain, snow, sleet, hail, whatever. And I loaded her up. We got up in there, and she was talking the whole time. And I said, okay, sis, I'm going to park the car in the middle of the road, and I want you to gently step out. This is dangerous out here. She was talking the whole time. I don't think she took any of my advice. Bam, hits the ground. Now, at that point in time, I hadn't had a good laugh in probably a couple years. You ever go through those phases in your life where you ain't happy about some things, you're just miserable? I ain't had a good laugh like that, and I knew God was helping me. Because when I saw her, she wasn't hurt. If she was hurt, I wouldn't be laughing. But when I saw her fall on that ground, sis, I hit the ground. I started laughing, and I said, thank you, God. Sister Blabbermouth didn't hurt herself, but Father, you knew I needed that laugh. God, you said in your word you would supply my every need, and God, that includes humor. So, God, I thank you for the laugh. And every time I want to be soured up about something, I think about that, and I think, now, God, don't make Sister Blabbermouth have to fall again, but I'm going to go back to that moment where I saw that. Now, let me tell you something. In all seriousness, we live in a life that is so difficult at times, and it gets so real at times. And how many of you know that it gets raw? Gets raw sometimes. Where are you out? There's times where you have seasons in your life where you feel very numb inside, where you're hurting on the inside, where you're struggling, where you're telling God, Daddy, God, is this ever going to be over? Is it ever going to be over? I remember when I was having my children, and my poor sweet mother, who is, by the way, in services, y'all welcome Sister Millie. I thank God that he's doing a healing work as she has been so faithful. But as I had my kids, I came to that point where I was tired after about 18 hours of that. You women feel me? And I looked over at Mother, and she was counting. I said, Mother, count faster. I need this to be over. Y'all that ain't have babies yet, you're going to get that at some point in your life. You'll understand what Pastor Kay was talking about. But there's times where we get very weary. There's times where we get very stressed. And there's times where we feel burned out and that we've had enough. And I want to talk about that this morning because, you know, what we have to do in the church has a very essential job of making people realize that you're going to go through stuff. And see, I'm not that pastor that's not going to talk to you about real stuff. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to keep it straight with you, and I'm going to keep it very real. Because what the devil likes to do to people right when you get up in the middle of a storm is he likes to make you feel like you're the only one that's having that problem, like you're the only one that's had to face that issue. And not only does he do that, but he likes to make you feel isolated in the problem. And let me tell you something. God said that he would never leave you. He said that he would never forsake you. So when the enemy comes and he tries to make you feel that loneliness, I want to tell you, see, that God has another way. God has another way that he wants to be with you, because God is never more closer to you than when you're broken. Read the Psalms, Psalms 34:18. God is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those that are crushed in spirit. And let me tell you something. There's times in your life where you're going to be crushed. There's times where you're going to be sad, where you're going to struggle. And I don't want any of our folks here to think something's wrong with them because you're feeling like that. There ain't nothing wrong with you. You're going through something, and let me tell you something, you're going to get to the other side of it. In Jesus' name. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to set the scene for you. We've got Elijah here. And Elijah was a very powerful man of God, and God used him, and God entrusted Elijah with a lot of power. He gave him a lot of power. I want to tell you this morning, in your battle, God has given you a lot of power. God has given you a lot of dominion, and he's given you a lot of authority. And so here's Elijah. And he was running from Jezebel because he had done killed all Jezebel's prophets. So he was running from her. And so in verse 1 it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." And so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. And it said this, "May the gods deal with me, and be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them." And so what it was is she had sent a messenger to say, "Look, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you for what you did. I'm going to get you for what you did." Now, how many of you know that God gave him the power to do what he did? In your life, when you're going through a battle, see, God says he'll never leave you, but he never told you you wouldn't go through some stuff. And so when the enemy comes and he says, "This is going to be the thing that takes you down," I want you to know that it ain't going to be the thing that takes you down. It's going to be the thing that really lifts you up, and that it makes you have a platform for who you are. It makes you have a platform for your calling. And so here he is, and he's in a moment. God had just done some powerful things through him. And here's this woman, and she's going, "I'm going to kill you for what you did." And let me tell you, the enemy will come to you day after day, moment after moment, and he'll make you think he has the power to do something. Look here, the devil don't have more power than you do. God told you in the very beginning, "I've given you dominion, I've given you authority, now take it," and you call the shots down here. And so Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. How many of you get up in the middle of a battle, and there's a fear aspect there? There's a fear aspect. There's something in that battle, and it's making you have fear. It's making you have worry. It's making you have stress, anxiety, irritation, aggravation. Let me tell you something. The devil, he can't win with you. God won't let him. God won't let him. God has an obligation to his children. But we have to know what to do. Tyranny, I could, here's an example. How many of you know Pastor Kelly is not a plumber? Amen. I think I've proven that. Okay. I'm not a handyman person either. Last night, Kayla, you're going to love this. I think I managed to break every appliance that we own. And Pastor Jeremy is not happy with me about that. And I had somebody come and work on the refrigerator. And how many of you ever have somebody work on something for you and they fixed the problem, but they made you a new problem? I hate when that happens. It always happens to me. And I am a very particular person. And if I'm going to have a refrigerator that makes ice, I want it to do its job and I want it to make that ice. It wasn't making the ice. And so that was going to make my little mental status not good. I want it to make ice like it's supposed to. Now, Jeremy's not the most handy person, but he's handier than me. So I insisted, Gary, that he gets behind the refrigerator van, he drags the refrigerator out, and he starts tinkering, and I'm like hovering over him because I'm a control freak, and I'm like going to make sure he's going to fix this right, and I don't know how to fix it. YouTube, I like to look at YouTube. And that's what gets me in most of my trouble is YouTube. Because they never tell you quite how to get it back together, all that stuff. Or at least I don't listen to it. Anyways, we get up here and we're tinkering with this fridge, and we start having another problem and another problem. Then I get the guy that worked on it, and we're all three talking at the same time. And I can't handle that. I got to have one conversation going up in this brain. And so I get off the phone with that guy, and Jeremy gets it to a point. We shove it back in the hole. And one of my passions, one of the things that I absolutely love the most out of my week is Monday nights. I love the food ministry that we do Monday nights for the senior citizens. Now, one of the most precious things that I have found about all the people that we serve in Logan County, this past week it was 110, one of the sweetest things is that they're in the generation where they want to give to you. They want to give to you. So I was dropping a meal off the other day, and they gave me a big old bag of peas. I like peas. They were a certain kind of pea I've never eaten before in my life. Now, when I ain't eating something, I don't really know how to cook something unless it comes in a can. These were fresh. I'm going to do the best I can do with them things. So I get them, and I don't know what I did to them. It wasn't right. So I ate a little bit of them, and we have a garbage disposal. I put the rest of them down the garbage disposal. Hey, nobody ever told me don't put a bunch of beans down the garbage disposal. I don't know where my parents went wrong with me, but they never told me that. We never had a garbage disposal. We weren't really fancy folks. And so, anyways, I put that whole pan of beans down the garbage disposal. Well, it wouldn't go down. So I thought, I'm going to fix this for Jeremy because I'm pretty sure he is fed up with me as it is. So my thing is if a plunger can't fix something, then you don't need it. I got the plunger out, and I started plunging away. Let me tell you something. You would have thought that stuff was sewage. Smelled like it. Looked like it. It was brown. Okay. Those of you that know me, you know I don't like to get dirty unless I'm planning on getting dirty. Here I am plunging that sink. Angie, whoosh, right up in my face. I thought, I've had enough. And then I start dying laughing because I know Jeremy's about to kill me. When Jeremy hides from me, he goes upstairs to the bathroom. 13 years of marriage, guess what? I know where he's hiding out. All the way up the stairs, the 14 stairs we have, I'm going, Lord, give Jeremy some grace for me because he's about to be hacked. And as I got to the bedroom, I just started laughing like a weird person. It's a nervous laugh. And I go, babe? I really hate to tell you, but I've done something else. And he goes, what have you broke now? I said, well, remember those peas that we had for supper? I think I got a clog in the garbage disposal. Let me tell you, it was a long night at my house. Long night. Here's how it ended. Jeremy said, Kelly, I want you to repeat after me. I will not touch. He said, no, you're going to say it, woman. Okay, husband. I will not touch anything else in this house today. I said, I will not touch anything else in this house today. I give you my word. Because it is 10:30 at night and I'm tired because I broke everything we own. I'm going to give it a rest. But let me tell you something. Look here. The fridge is still broke. We did manage to clear out the garbage disposal. We couldn't have done it without Jeremy. The whole thing was clogged all up. But we have to be able to realize that there are godly instructions for every season of our life. If you feel burned out, stressed out, irritated, anxiety out, overwhelmed, let me tell you something. The Word of God addresses that in His Word. And so let's read on. And it says that Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And you know what? A lot of times when you get in a battle, it makes you want to run. Makes you want to run. Makes you think, ugh, I don't want to take this one more second. I'm just ready to run away. You ever said that? I just like to run away. I just want to quit. I just want to this or I just want to that. And let me tell you something. That's the easy way out. That's the easy way out. God ain't called you to be a runner. God said, hey, at the end of the day, when you've done everything that you can do to stand, just stand. Because I'll give you the ability to just do that. And so it says that he ran for his life, and when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So here we are in the middle of a problem. We got some crazy lady promising to kill us, and he's running for his life, and he has a servant there. Thank you. He has a servant there, and he leaves the servant, and he just goes on a walk. And let me tell you something. When you get up in the middle of a battle, what you really need is you need alone time with the Lord. You do. You need alone time. So many people, they get up into the middle of a battle, and a lot of people, they're going to do one or two things. They're going to call everybody they know, and they're going to get all the wrong advice for the battle that God already promised He would get them through, but they want everybody else's twisted advice. Or we want to just get in our bed and pull the covers over our head and just try to be just absent in our life. And look here, God's not called you to do either one. But what God wants is He wants you to get alone, quiet yourself, get alone with God till you feel His presence, because He'll give you the thing to do. He'll give you the next step. He'll refresh you. He'll renew you. He'll restore you. See, only in His presence is there fullness of joy. Only in His presence do you get the answer to your problems. A lot of people don't know how to get in God's presence because they don't know how to put the phone down for 2 seconds. You ever look at people? I started looking at people as I eat out. Eating out is probably my most favorite thing to do. I love it. And I started looking at everybody, Melissa, and here's what society looks like today. You could have a family there. They're all eating. They're all on their phone, even the little kids. Look here. That phone is not an appendage to your body. You want to get in God's presence? You want to hear from God? Put everything out of your mind and seek God's face. Seek His face. And so it says here he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. And you know what? There's times where we get into valleys. There's times when we're on the mountaintop. And there's times where we up in the straight-up desert. We up in the straight-up desert. And what I want to point out to you is God's there on the mountain. God's there in the valley. God's there in the desert. God's there when you've heard the worst news of your life. God's there when the most unexpected happens. God is in all of that. So when you get up in something that you feel like is going to take you over, what you need to know is God is even in that moment. And so here we see him, and it says that he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, and he came to a broom tree, and he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. You ever get so discouraged, you're like, Lord, just kill me now. Lord, I can't handle no more. Lord, when is this going to end? Lord, how much more are you going to let me go through? God, why did you allow this? And you get real iffy, and you get irritated. And what it was is he's saying, I'm just burned out, God. Lord, I'd rather die than just go one more day. God, I did what you told me to do over here. I've got crazy Jezebel trying to kill me over there. And God, I'm burned out. God, I'm tired. God, I'm weary. And God, I'm tired of going through this. See, can you just keep it real when you get in that phase where you're like, you know what, Lord, I'm weary and I'm burned out. You ever have burnout? Most pastors won't tell you when they got burnout. I've had it before. What we have to do is learn how to let God restore and refresh, restore and refresh. The only way to do that is in his presence. You can't get in his presence when you're all up in the thick of it and you won't take a second. So we got to get out and we got to get alone and we got to sit. Notice he sat down and just sat under a broom tree. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but it sounds like something I need to sit down under some days. And so he was overwhelmed, he was burned out, and he said, God, just let me die. Because that was an escape for him. We have a lot of escapes that we go to. Some of us, we go and spend a lot of money on shopping. A lot of people, I'll ask them at Celebrate Recovery, what triggered you to take up using again? I just didn't want to feel I needed an escape. Look here. We all like that in some way or degree. We all have our periods in life where they get difficult and we just want to get out. We just want to give up. Look here. God hasn't brought you this far for you to give up now. Until you see the glory of God in that problem, in that battle that you face, ma'am, Kiele, I'm looking at you, sister. Until you see the glory of God, God's not done. You just got to hold on. You got to hold on. And when you're holding on, what you have to realize is he has never been late. Has God ever been late for any of y'all? He has never been one moment late. And he's not going to start now. And so it says here, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. And he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. And then he says something, and I catch myself saying this all the time. I have had enough. I have had enough. Here's Elijah. He's tired. He's scared. He's overwhelmed. He's burned out. He's ready to just call it. And he tells God, God, I've had enough. God, I've had enough. See, have you found yourself in that place where you said, God, I've simply just had enough. See, a lot of people, they say, you know, Pastor Kelly, I don't have to talk with God because God knows my heart. Let me tell you something. Yes, he does know your little old darling heart. That don't give you a free pass to not communicate with God. God wants to hear it all. When you're tired, he wants you to say, Daddy, God, I'm so tired. God, I'm weary. God, I'm stressed. God, I want to give up. God wants to for you to tell him everything about you, everything that concerns you. And so he says, I have had enough. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Now, a lot of things that we do, this is so classic. When he said, I'm no better than my ancestors, he was tired. He was weary. He was stressed. When we get all of those things, what we get in our life is a false sense of failure. I'm going to say it again. When you're overtired, when you're overweary, when you're in the thick of a battle, when you're struggling and you're trying everything that you can do just to hold on, What we get in that situation, when we get all those things, we get a false sense of failure. The devil will be right there. Well, just give up because you're not doing a good job anyways. Well, just call it because you're not good enough for that anyways. See, you ever notice how when you get overtired, you start to feel less than? You ever notice how when you get right up in the thick of a problem, you start feeling like you can't, you're not even worthy to clean the church bathroom? There's days I don't even feel good enough to do that. Look here, when you get up in the middle of a battle, why is this stuff in the Word of God? Because God knows what we face. There's nothing new that's under the sun. The devil doesn't have any new tricks, and he doesn't have to because the same ones are still working. Amen? And so he says, I just want to die. I want to get out. I want an escape. I've had enough, and I'm no better than my ancestors. And I want to hit on something this morning very strong. What I am very sensitive to now more than ever is that there's a lot of hurting people. A lot of people smiling on the outside and hurting on the inside. And what I want to tell you is, in this place, you don't have to fake it till you make it. If you've come up in here hurting and weary and depressed and stressed, you don't have to put on a smile for my sake, because let me tell you something. If I get an inkling that you're any type of way, I'm going to put my hands on you and I'm going to ask God to refresh you. And so we see him here, and he has that false sense of failure. And it happens all the time. You could be at your job and you're struggling in that job, or you're tired, you're weary, life has hit you hard, and you're saying, you know, I just might as well quit. They don't appreciate me here. They don't this and they don't that. I'm not even really good at this job. I don't feel like I've ever been good at this job. Or you get up into your marriage and it gets a little hard and you say, I never loved him anyways. Oh, I married him for the wrong reasons. See, we have these things that we say, and it's really the devil comes at us in all types of ways to get us to feel like nothing we did was good enough. Nothing that we do matters. Let me tell you something. You matter. You're enough. And what you don't need is, you don't need to feel like everything that you've done is wrong. Everything that you've done hasn't been good. Because look here, you've done a lot of things right. God never designed us to feel terrible about ourselves every waking moment of the day. But the devil will get you up in the middle of a battle, a struggle, a situation, and he'll get you to want to give up right in the middle of it. Let me tell you something. When it gets hard, press in. When it gets hard, grab a hold of God. Keep a hold of him, because what you're about to see is glory. You're about to see the glory of God come into that situation. See, the devil would love for you to give up before you get your breakthrough. He'd love for you to give up before you get your miracle, before you get your answered prayer, before the good thing happens. See, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the Word of God says, now I've come that you'd have life. And not only just have life, but that you'd have it in abundance. You'd have it in abundance. And so he says, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. And all at once, now I want to tell you something. One of the things that I've always loved about my husband Jeremy is that when I'm being crazy, most of the time his response is spot on. Y'all ever have a crazy moment? When I have one, I always think, Lord, please don't let Jeremy think I'm completely nuts. He knows I'm already a little crazy, but don't let him think I'm just completely far out there. I want you to see God's response, because look here, God knows. He knows when you're tired. He knows when you're stressed. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're depressed. He knows when you're at your breaking point and you've had enough. God knows. God always has the right response for you. Many people in the battle, they will not go to God. They will not get close to God. They will not take that time and be with God. They will not take a time out just to sit in His presence. See, you notice, he went, he left, he went into the desert. He got alone with God and he said, God, I've had enough. Let me tell you something. Yeah, we don't like for people to say, well, I've had enough. I say that all the time. I always say, I have had enough. Not doing one more thing. No. But let me tell you what he did right. He talked to God about it. He talked to God about it. He said, God, I'm fed up. God, I'm in your presence right now, and I'm telling you, and I'm pouring my heart out to you. See, God wants it all. When you're having a bad day, he wants you to tell him about it. Why? So he can make it right. And here he is. He said, I'm tired, I've had enough, and I'm sick of this. And God's response is spot on. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. See, the word of God says he'll send his angels to watch over you. It's exactly what he did. If we could take back the curtain and see every time that God saved your life because he sent his angels to watch over you, you'd never worry about God showing up in a situation again because you'd realize just how good that he's been. See, and a lot of times when we get stressed and all these things, you ever notice how you act different when you're hungry? I'll act 7 kinds of nuts when I'm hungry. Man, I'm not going to act right when I'm hungry. The only one that acts worse when they're hungry is Pastor Jer. I don't let him get hungry because I don't want that coming out. If anybody can top me, that's something. Let me tell you something. I keep him fed because I need somebody to deal with all of this. And so God listened to him, and he sent an angel to touch him. See, you're not too far gone that God won't send an angel to just touch you. You're not too far gone that God won't put his hand of favor and thrust you forward up out of this. See, God knows exactly what you face. He knows exactly. Don't let the devil come and rob you of your peace and your family and all the good things in life. You may be going through the worst thing that you've ever been through, but you know what I want to tell you today? God is still God. God is still working it out. He's still exactly who he says that he is. And so he says, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Now, let me tell you something. When you're in the desert of your life, if God himself has to bake you a cake to get you up out of yourself, he'll do it. Why? Because he loves you. There's nothing that he wouldn't do for you. Here's a guy that's stressed and worried and irritated, and hear what God does. He sent an angel, and he says, now, angel, you touch Elijah and tell him to get up. See, God's telling some people, hey, get up out of that depression and rise up because I'm going to be there. If I got to make you a cake and get you to eat something and take a little time out, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But you can't just sit there in that problem and waller.
Right.
Haley, do the pigs like to waller? They like wallering. That's what piggies like to do. She's got a couple. She knows she's going to be an expert by the time this course of hers gets over in school. Piggies like to waller in the problem, but children of God, they get up. Okay? God, when he saved you, he didn't make you a little girl. Look here. I've always been meaner than a junkyard dog. Pastor Jeremy tell you that's the truth. Somebody was picking on my sister. She's 5 years older than me. Somebody was picking on her one day on the school bus, Brother Mikey. And let me tell you something. I was about 7 years old. I walked straight up to that guy, punched him right in the face. He's about 17. I was about 7, Ian. And he grabbed my little arms, and he said, "What are you going to do now? Look here, I'm from Arkansas." What does that mean? We get down and dirty with you. They don't call me Ellie Mae for nothing. Look here. I was raised in the country, and you know what we did in the country? Hawked loogies. I thought, dude, you done stepped out in a place you don't want to be, but you grabbed my little 7-year-old arms, you about to get it. And I hawked up the biggest loogie I had, the biggest loogie I could conjure up, and I just spit it in his face. And let me tell you something, immediately he let me go. Now let me tell you something, when the devil comes at you and he's got a hold of you and he's just shaking you and he's saying, "What you gonna do now?" Let me tell you something, at any point in time you can say, "Well, Daddy God said I can get up and he tells me in his word to get up, so by golly, I'm going to get up." And then when I get up, I'm going to spit in the devil's face because the word said he has to let me go. See, God ain't called you for a life of failure, but the devil, he'll put failure in your path. You got to get out of that. You can't afford the luxury of negative thinking. Because look here, anything you can do up in your mind, you can act it out. If the devil gets you to accept defeat, he's going to have you acting out defeat. If he can get you to accept failure, he'll have you acting out failure. How many of you ever walked off on a job and after you'd done that, you thought, "Well, that was dumb. Why did I do that?" "Well, the devil talked me into it. I've done that." And I sat home and thought, "Why did I do that? I don't know. I still don't know." But here we are. See, if you'll get into the Word will tell you everything you need to know. See, is this ministering to you today? Is it telling you, look, when you get burnt out, look here, don't give up. So here he is. And here's the response. The angel said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank, and then he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time. And what I want to pinpoint out to you right here is Daddy God knows when you need a second dose. See, you ever got up in the thick of something and you started praying about it and it started to get better, but then some other things presented their ugly little heads and here you was back again having stress over that problem? God knows when you need a second dose of glory. He knows when you need a second dose of, "Hey, child, it's going to be okay." God knows that. And so we see here again the angel of the Lord. He came back a second time and he touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank and he was strengthened by that food. And he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb and the mountain of God. And then he went into a cave and he spent the night. And let me tell you something. God's response to this worn out, burned out person was spot on. Spot on. "Elijah, come get in my presence. Spend some alone time with me. I'm going to minister to you and I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to feed you cake because I love you, Elijah, and I know that you like cake. I'm going to send an angel to touch you. And then I'm going to come back again and I'm going to tell you to get up. To get up." Last place for me this morning, Matthew chapter 11. I want to tell you, when you feel alone in your troubles, God is never more present than right there in the middle of that loneliness. The battle gets lonely. The battle gets hard. God is very close to you. He will not let go of you. If God himself has to bake you bread in that desert, that's exactly what he'll do. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it says here, and this is my last verse for this morning. And it says, come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Look here. It doesn't say Netflix can give you rest. It doesn't say this can give you rest. It says, hey, if you will come to me, I and I alone, I'm going to give you rest. What does the word say? Draw close to me, and I'm going to draw close to you. Look here. That's how it works. That's how it works. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. On the seventh day, God rested. If God himself rested, what we have to do is take a page out of that book and realize, God, I'm going to rest in who you are. God, I'm going to set this time aside and I'm going to soak up in your presence. God, I'm going to soak up in who you are. God, I'm going to soak up in the anointing of what you're doing in my life because, God, you're more than able. God, you're faithful. God, I'm not going to shrivel up and die in this valley because, Daddy God, I know darn well you're going to put me back on the mountain. There ain't no reason for me to act like a whoop pup because, God, you said when you became Daddy God to me, you was going to put me in that place. See, the Word of God says that every valley, it has to be raised up. God won't leave you in that place. Now, the devil going to make you think he is. He ain't. He can't. He don't have the authority to. And so it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn. Learn. How do we learn? We get into the Word and we see how God handles the problem. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Everybody says, his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. God never calls you to feel defeated. He promises you over and over he's going to give you the victory. I have felt over the past few years of my life so much burnout, so much defeat, so much failure, so much overwhelming. And God brought me to this place last night and he said, Kelly, you tell my kids they're enough. You tell them I haven't left. I don't plan on it. And I want to give them a new insight that, look here, if I got to go in the desert with them, I'm there. So what I want to ask you this morning, do you need hands-on prayer? I'm going to ask Pastor Jeremy to come up here. I want to pray for anybody that needs prayer. If this is you, if you said, you know what, I have gone through so much and I